This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We will continue our discussion of the Aurora mass murders. On Friday, we preempted our interview with a scientist on Real Science Friday, and Will Duffy sat in for Fred Williams. And we talked through, and I would like to continue that discussion of trying to dismiss the distractions, because when you're talking about life and death, a distraction is something that therefore will lead to more unnecessary death. When you're not really looking at the actual solution, but you just allow yourself to be confused on some distraction, then you actually end up being part of the problem and not part of the solution. And then we talked about the causes of America's crime epidemic and then identifying the solutions, with the theme being this: you can't stop every crime, but you can end an epidemic. And it's easy to see through the claims that we heard Will Duffy and I already by the time of our live show on Friday, that you hear, for example, from talk show hosts, even conservatives and others, who say things like, well, in a free society, you have to expect this. This can't be avoided in a free society. And that's a non sequitur on a few levels. Well, for one example, what if you have tyrants? You have tyrants and dictatorships and they don't have murder? You don't have murder in a dictatorship or a society that's not free? Many people around the world would say Palestinians don't live in a free society. If that's true, it's because of their government, starting with the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. So if you say they don't live in a free society, there's plenty of murder coming out of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, including mass murder. So what is free society? What if you're Caesar? What if the Roman Empire and you are the top guy and you get murdered? So what is free society? What does that have to do with murder? That's a distraction. People will say that because they're repeating a cliche they heard because they don't have too much of substance to actually say. I do like it, though, when I hear an attorney say something that's not mindless. I just love that. I mean, it's refreshing, right? And that happened on Fox News the day after the murders, when their correspondent, Adam Housley, said another mindless cliche, and he was corrected by an attorney. That doesn't happen very often. But he was on with Greta Van Susteren, and she is an attorney, right? She is. Yeah, and he said, well, to do something like this, somebody's got to be mentally ill. And she said, without missing a beat, she said, or evil. So mentally ill or evil. Yeah, and evil, that's evil, sinful, corrupt, immoral. And mental illness is, of course, prevalent in the human condition. And it might be that all of us are somewhat mentally ill. In fact, I think that's true. But then mental illness and sin come together and exacerbate one another. And it's very difficult to identify where mental illness leaves off and sin takes over, and vice versa. It's hard, but people even who are mentally ill can be taught, people who are mentally handicapped can be taught that there are consequences for their actions. And certainly this murderer knew very well that there were consequences because he shot at unarmed people. He didn't shoot at the armed people. So he knew perfectly well that there were certain consequences that he preferred to avoid. And why in the world would he tell the cops immediately that his apartment was booby-trapped? Why would he do that? I don't think anybody's proposed a theory. Has anybody in the studio audience heard a theory for why he would do that? Because apparently he wanted to kill a lot of people, and apparently he wanted to kill the authorities or whoever would enter his apartment. Maybe a neighbor because of the loud music, or the police if he were to be arrested or suspected. So why would he? Has anybody heard anybody? So far, nobody has heard a theory as to why. And it could very well be the same thing that motivated him not to shoot at the people who were armed. All of a sudden, he realizes that he's going to be under their control, and he doesn't want them to be quite as mad at him as they might be if he kills one of them. So he kills these unarmed people, and then he decides not to shoot at the people with the guns. That shows us that he's very much aware of his actions and consequences. Even if he was a pothead, even if he had done Vicodin, you know, that's been verified, right, that he did Vicodin. And so regardless of the drugs that he did, he was thinking clear enough to know that, okay, I'm going to shoot at the unarmed people, and I'm not going to shoot at the armed people. Oh, and if a cop gets killed sometime in the next hour, my skin, my life might be at greater risk since I'm going to be incarcerated. So I'm going to let them know, by the way, my place is booby-trapped. So probably that also was an effort to save his own skin, most likely. So what I would like to do is go through some of the news that's been reported since, but then also to continue our discussion of what are the distractions, what are the irrelevancies, and what are significant. I know that schools and other special interests have been calling for more focus on mental health, right? Yet many of the school shooters have been on psychiatric drugs. So psychiatric drugs are for what? They're for the treatment of mental health problems. So if the treatment is part of the disease, which brings about tremendous aggression, then maybe the whole psychiatric community isn't quite smart enough to figure out how to deter crime. And maybe when they think that they're deterring, they're actually pouring fuel, gasoline on a fire, then maybe they're not credible. Maybe they're just part of the distraction of how do you deter crime? How do you prevent crime? You cannot stop every crime, but you can end an epidemic. Have you heard that anywhere? Have you heard that anywhere? Because otherwise what we hear, and I'll tell you what we heard on KOA Radio from John Caldera. And I do not want, of course, to misrepresent what he said. But my kids were shocked by what he said. My kids, young kids. He said, now I know this is going to sound spiritual, and that was just, we know why he said that. He said, of course, we don't in any way like the fact that Columbine happened. It was so nice of him to say that. And we're not saying that, you know, it's better that Columbine did happen. He said, of course, it would have been better if it had never happened. Isn't that so nice of him to point that out? I mean, whoever feels compelled to point that out is about to say something really stupid, really off the charts stupid. So he said, you know, if Columbine hadn't happened, then the police would not have been trained to know what to do. And so in a way, you know, in a way, there's a, what is there? A yin and a yang? Caldera? What is there? A silver lining? What? And so even in his example, he's wrong. Even in his example, if he had the history right, it's still absurd to say. Right? It's absurd. It's like saying, oh, it's so good that we were bombed on 9/11. Not that we wanted it, but we needed more airport security. Oh, it's so good that we were bombed at Pearl Harbor because we needed to develop a nuclear deterrent. But he was wrong even on the face of it, on the history of it, because when the Jefferson County Sheriff decided not to send police officers in, to be first responders, to pick up those who have been injured, to, if there are shooters, to confront the shooters, when they decided instead to build the world's most secure perimeter and man the perimeter for hours, when they decided to do that, there were police all over the country who were infuriated with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department for the incompetence. And police departments everywhere, there were police officers on the scene who were enraged that they weren't allowed to go in and to make sure the shooters were dead or done and to provide care and get paramedic help for the injured. And so we did not need Columbine to teach us that Jefferson County's police response was a failure. We didn't need that. Why is it that cops everywhere thought that what they did was wrong and always you would go in to confront the shooters? Always. And what? You'd be put at risk? Of course you'd be put at risk. That's why you're on the SWAT team, because you have the courage to try to defend the defenseless in this kind of situation. I've got a friend who had to go in a live fire situation and shoot a shooter. A friend who had to go in and shoot the shooter to defend the students. I won't say where in the country, but I got a friend who did that. And so John Caldera finding the silver lining in Columbine, because now the cops were trained, what, to arrest the guy in the parking lot? What, we needed Columbine to arrest the guy who throws up his hands after his gun jams? Not all his guns, his. So anyway, my analysis of KHOW, KOA radio, and probably multiplied hundreds of times over around the country is because they're not coming from a Christian worldview, they don't have anything of substance to say. They don't have anything of substance to say. They wring their hands. They throw up their arms. They just don't know what to do or say. So they say, well, in a free society, what does that have to do with anything? What, there are no murders under dictators? What, there's only these kinds of crimes in a free society? I mean, what does that mean? And there's no way to prevent it. The deception there, the illusion is that somebody is asking, can't we prevent every crime ever committed? Nobody's asking that. Nobody's presuming that. They're answering a question that no one is asking because they don't have any actual answers for the questions that we all have in our heart. Why is there a murder epidemic in America? And so I was glad to see that on MSNBC, very quickly after the mass murder, an article went up by Alan Boyle, Don't Blame Darwin. Don't Blame Darwin. I thought that was pretty good because I like the fact that they're feeling the pressure, because a godless worldview where the public schools teach students that they are animals, that they've evolved from animals, and then don't be surprised when they act like animals, because animals kill other animals. Some fish are mass murderers, right? Well, that's what an atheist might think. They think murder is just when you kill another organism. They'd have a hard time, right? Fish eat other fish. It's not wrong for a fish to eat another fish. It's not wrong for big fish to eat little fish. But it is wrong for a stronger human being to kill weaker human beings. It is absolutely wrong. An atheist cannot confirm that or can't identify why it would be absolutely wrong. Why is it wrong for the majority to kill the minority? Why? Why is it wrong for a government to decide to treat a minority like their property? Why? Rights do not come from the government, then they wouldn't be rights. They don't come from the majority. God forbid, right? Because then how do you protect the minority if rights come from the majority? And what? The pro-abort is left with the hospital. Where do your rights come from? If they don't come from the majority and they don't come from the government, where do they come from? Well, they say, well, when you're born, what, do they come from the hospital? What? The board of directors? The chief of surgery? Where do the rights come from? The OBGYN who delivers the baby? I was thrilled to see that MSNBC felt the need to be defensive and said, don't blame Darwin. Because people are saying that when students are taught they're no different from animals, they act like it. And so then the University of Chicago's Jerry Coyne, very well-known atheist evolutionist, he had to admit, I mean, they're getting used to being wrong. Every time there's a terrible crime and they say, it's Christian, it's the Tea Party, it's the conservatives. And so they're getting used to being wrong on that. And it's embarrassing. So he said this. He said, I doubt that religion had anything to do with these murders. Well, the guy was what? He was a PhD candidate in a neurobiology program at the University of Colorado, having moved here from San Diego and their government school system. And everything he did in his coursework seems like it's all based on evolutionary thought. So he most likely is not a fundamentalist Bible student. Most likely not. I mean, you know, we'd have to find out. But Jerry Coyne knew enough to figure a guy going for his PhD in neurobiology, if he were a fundamentalist Christian, he'd have been chased out by then. The bigotry and bias of our higher education, they tend to weed out people who love God and believe in God. They mock them. They make it difficult for them. They try to get rid of them. And so Jerry Coyne said, I doubt that religion had anything to do with these murders, but religion is so quick to point the finger at evolution. Hey, survival of the fittest. The weak are destroyed. That was the subtitle of Darwin's book. Evolutionists say, no, it wasn't. Well, you know, they like to have it both ways. They say, well, the first version of his book didn't say survival of the fittest on the cover. No, but Darwin himself added that to the cover in a later edition. But the first version had the racist subtitle, The Preservation of the Favored Races, and Darwin is a known sexist, women are inferior, and a known racist, that blacks and others are inferior to Caucasian Europeans. So they drop the racist subtitle as though it had never existed. Richard Dawkins was making hay out of a poll of Christians. And they asked Christians, people who said, they said, what religion are you? They said, Christian. So that includes, like, if they were born in a driveway, they'd say they were a Ford, right? People who don't believe Jesus is the Savior or that he rose from the dead, many of them call themselves Christians. So they asked Christians, what's the first book in the New Testament? And many of them couldn't say Matthew. They didn't know. Many of them don't know any of the books in the Bible. So they didn't know. Okay. So a Christian talk show host asked Richard Dawkins then a follow-up, and they said, what is the name of Charles Darwin's book? And Dawkins could not remember by means of natural selection. He couldn't remember. And then they said, well, and what is the full title? He couldn't remember the full title. He couldn't remember the short title, you know, a little bit after On Origin of Species. He couldn't remember the full title. So that was Dawkins going up to people who claim to be Christians, not the world's leading authorities, but just people who say they're Christian, and asking them, what's the first book in the New Testament? They didn't remember. But when they asked the world's leading expert on Darwinism, what's the title of his book, that famous book published in 1859 by Charles Darwin, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, he couldn't remember that natural selection was part of the title. And then once he was reminded and asked for the full title, he couldn't remember that at all, that had anything remotely racist in the title, On the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So Darwin was a sexist. Darwin was a racist. Darwin taught survival of the fittest. Darwin applied these things to human beings. And he was sometimes coy with the reader when he talked about breeding animals and you want your weak animals to die or to not be bred. And then he brought up the question of, well, how do we apply this to human beings? And he was coy and he said, you know, basically he didn't want to think about it. And we hear that all the time too, don't we? I don't want to think about it. Like Aaron Ra, the atheist I've been debating for the past 72 years, Aaron Ra on Real Science Friday, and then currently online in England at their League of Reason. And Aaron Ra is a well-known atheist. His YouTube videos have millions of views. And we said, well, we could debate the Big Bang. We could debate the origin of life. He said, oh, I don't like to debate those issues. You don't like to debate the origin of life and the origin of the universe. And that is the essential detail that an atheist needs to explain is the origin. And that's what they don't like. Even Darwin's book, he overreached even in his title because Darwin began with species. Darwin began with species and he proposed how they might change into other species. He didn't begin with the origin of species. He didn't begin with how species originated. He began with species. Do you know the standard model for star evolution? The standard model? It begins with stars already existing and blowing up, supernovas. And then there's another variation that begins with stars already forming. And once they're already forming, then it takes over. The standard model for star evolution. And they don't know whether stars or galaxies came first, just like they have a hard time with the chicken and egg, which came first. So atheists, you ask atheists, well, was God involved in the origin of life? And this Lewis Finkelstein report from a few years back, quoted by the Intelligent Design Movement and the Creation Movement, they asked over 1,000 U.S. medical doctors these questions, 1,500 medical doctors. And of atheists, 5% of atheists said, I don't like to think about such matters, 5%. Now, interestingly, Hindus, 8%. I don't like to think about. And Buddhists, 21%. I don't like to think about such matters. I find that interesting. Buddhists are essentially atheists, right? And it turns out that 60% of U.S. medical doctors, 60% said that God was involved in the origin of human beings. 60% in the media lies when they report this. They lie. They twist it. They twist it. Even the Lewis Finkelstein Institute that conducted the study, even they lie. It's sort of funny. They said that an overwhelming majority of Jewish doctors agree more with intelligent design than evolution. An overwhelming majority, they said 88%. Now, I find that interesting because intelligent design says that there's an intelligent designer. And God would qualify as an intelligent designer. So when you look at their poll, it turns out when you look at just the Jewish doctors, 32% said either God created humans as we are now, or God initiated and guided the evolutionary process, 32%. That's pretty significant. Now, doctors overall, 60% said God created us as we are right now, or God initiated and guided the process that led to human beings. That's pretty cool. 1 out of 5 U.S. medical doctors think that God made us exactly as we are right now. I ask doctors when I go, I ask them, do you think evolution could make our human body? And I don't know if it's just the doctors I pick. And they say, no, couldn't be, too sophisticated. So we have a godless culture where it's not necessarily so that the majority of the people want the culture to be godless, but they are intimidated by the media and our educational institutions and our government, which is officially godless, except for lip service, which God despises. But you disobey me, and then with the same mouth, you reject my commands, and then you pay lip service to me on your money, on your currency. So the murderer, reports are, and I have not seen them confirmed yet, but they've been reported all over the place. LA Weekly, the New York Post, TMZ, that the guy was a pothead. And if you look at the guy's picture, he looks like a pothead, right? I mean, what does a pothead look like? Well, he looks like the cab driver who you saw the last time you decided to walk. That's what a pothead looks like. And he looks like a pothead. But what's interesting is that LA Weekly and one of their award-winning journalists, Dennis Romero, said, you know, if it's true that this murderer was a pothead, it could be bad news for medical marijuana advocates. Cannabis has a powerful psychoactive component that has the potential to be abused, he pointed out. Just like, true, like legal drugs also. But a lot of legal drugs are not designed to get you high. And when Israeli scientists have now cultivated a strain of medical marijuana that doesn't get you high, one of the world's leading pro-marijuana sites said, why in the world would they do that? And that makes our point, right? If you Google, what does the Bible say about marijuana? Or what does the Bible say about pot? I think, kgov.com now, I think we're on the first page. What does the Bible say about pot? And you could try, what does the Bible say about marijuana also? But just like the cannibal in Miami who committed just a crime that horrified the world, and the only drug in his system was marijuana. So the stuff is dangerous, folks. But hey, God bless you. This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.